And good evening. Welcome, dear listeners, wherever you find yourself. I hope that discussion point coming from the home run program just a few minutes ago, in terms of invigorating the discussion that they presented to you, in terms of taking a look at some key points. However, this is your Business and Economic Zone here on your number one talk radio station of Eagle FM, and we are still continuing with the commodity-based trading platform in terms of the mechanism that was used in terms of getting Namibia's beef to Ghana. Now, we're not going to factor in the main points of last night. No. We're going to be factoring in the main points in terms of how commodities, or the aspect of commodity, gets decided on, how it is determined, where does this aspect come from, and also we'll have a little bit of a look at some key points, especially coming from the UNCTAD, that's, you know, the commerce and trade arm of the United Nations, where they noted themselves, and this is based upon their take of where more than 100 countries actually depend on commodity exports. Now, for tonight's discussion, there is going to be some, I am going to allow for interactions in terms of your calls coming through. So, in terms of last night's session, in terms of where there was no space for interactions, you can come through on the studio line at 083-288-401, 083-288-401. 401. Now, where we left off last night, and this is just to sort of like just have a little bit of revision of last night's discussion point, is that Namibia delivered its first batch. I'll call it a batch, but it is the first consignment of, not, you can't say consignment, but rather the first delivery of beef from the northern communal areas, farmers or meat producers, to another African market. Thus, it does play into the Africa Free Trade Agreement overall goal of Africans trading with other Africans. Thus, we are actually bolstering and strengthening the continental trade. That is the intra continental trade mechanism, in terms of where African countries are trading with each other, which is kudos, which is very good. However, this was made possible through a mechanism known as CBT, commodity-based trade. Commodity-based trade, taking a look specifically at animal products or livestock products, is that if your livestock, or if there was one or other kind of health scare, especially to, like, for example, like with foot and mouth disease, that you don't put a blanket ban on a livestock product coming from a country. No. You only allow the healthy aspects, the healthy products to be sold. I gave you the example of, for example, if one region in the country gets hit with FMD, but it's not all the producers, meaning that there can still be producers from an impacted region that can still supply, as long as they provide and can indicate that what they are selling is healthy, that it's not infected or has not incurred any kind of illness or outbreak or anything in that sort. And then ultimately also I give you the other example of like selling a mango. You know, a mango producer in Namibia trying to sell to South Africa, because South Africa has major fruit processing plants and also supply chains. Whereas if there is a specific insect that infects only the seed pod of the mango, meaning that thing with the hair that you reach when you've eaten all the mango flesh off, that seed pod, if that's the only thing that a specific kind of insect or parasite targets, and thus sort of like somewhat, you know, taints or infects the product. There is still one component of the product that can still be sold, because all it will mean is just that the producer has to take out the seed pod, and thus the mango flesh is still useful. It can still be used. It can still be processed. Now, that's the approach that CBT aims to, to sort of like not revitalize, but rather to allow. It's an allowance mechanism, because it allows people to see, okay, not the whole part of a product is impacted, but rather just a part of the product. And if the product can still be useful minus that one infected or impacted or diseased part, why not? Let's make use of it. Let's apply the standard in terms of a normal, you know, sale or trade and sale as trade agreement. But from that component, guys, there were also myths. And the myths is also what I shared in terms of just highlighting what these myths would have been were like. And remember, this was based upon a COMESA policy brief from 2008 that outlined very clearly to, you know, in our discussion of last night, where this first instance of CBT came from. Now, those myths had obviously is something that can be, you know, that can surface, or the misunderstandings can occur with regards to the aim, because people would automatically think, listen, if you are trying to sell a product that comes from an infected region in a country, a region that has had an outbreak of FMD, then you're technically selling someone a faulty product or a bad product. No. To say that a region had experienced one or other kind of animal disease does not mean that all the animals in the region have contracted or are suffering from this ailment. No. Because obviously, the next step that would have to, in terms of quality, and this is where quality assurance and quality checks, this whole phrase comes in. Because that would mean those who are part and parcel of a supply chain discussion and agreement have to ensure that the product is sound, that the product is fit for trade. You have to make sure. So the producer has to provide said proof. Then whoever is sort of like the facilitators in this trade mechanism of supply and trade between two countries has to then see, okay, these are our standards, and they supply those standards to the client country, and the client country does the same thing, and they go like, okay, these are your standards, your veterinary standards, you've achieved this, this, and this. These specific heads of cattle or heads of sheep, I don't know what you call, you know, that cluster. I know it's a flock, but you can't say flock for that matter in our discussion, because it would be a larger total. Now, that would be, you know, the line, the train of thought, the train of trading talks that would take place.
Kukuruka na yowamba, kukuningsa ozere, nukusespika na mpito domgara mokagura mkisigemeke. Rambangako, uwera o HIV. Ayo, kukupoperan, tani kuiruka na maoko uko. Tokoras gara, ninka wa kurugana yowamba. Mokutura mwe hundiro liye yowamba zuma okoko, zimo guanakuma pukuru gomanzi. Tumako WhatsApp kwa numero 0833-3858-2855. Ndidingura kwa Facebook kwa VMMC Namibia.
Now, coming back from our break, a quick break right there, and I saw that there was a caller trying to come through. You can still come through, caller. It was just that the ad break crept up on us. But still, that was the basis for last night's discussion, which then now carries over to tonight's. Now, it's important to take note, guys. Namibia, we are rich technically in commodities. We are now adding more to our portfolio of commodities, thus putting us in a very strong position. But nonetheless, remember that our theme is looking at African country to African country trade. Now, on that basis, let me get this first caller in. Okay, I see that they once again gave me a missed call, but still, from that point, from our point of departure from there, and that was just the revision part. the aspect of commodities. But first, I want to share the United Nations' discussion point in terms of the 100 countries, more 100 plus countries that depend on commodity exports. Now, they indicate, and this is based upon their report from September 2021 last year, which is technically almost a year between then and now, and where they indicated that there's a heavy dependence on commodities that has increased globally, leaving about two-thirds of developing countries vulnerable to economic shocks as sharp commodity price fluctuations can take place, or such as sharp commodity price fluctuations. So meaning what we are currently seeing, especially with oil, gas. What was the other thing? That's also another kind of commodity. Well, lithium will be there because people, the major craze now in the developed countries about electronic vehicles can also put a major strain on that. I've highlighted to you on Monday night's discussion with regards to the fertilizer, how fertilizer has now also become technically a commodity under strain because of a mineral known as potash. Not nitrogen, but yes, nitrogen as well. But potash has become one of the, you know, one of those key aspects in the composition of fertilizer and the fertilizer trade. Well, it's safe to say, guys, things as mundane as fertilizer will become political weapons or trading weapons across the world current, under current scheme of things and under the current climate, global geopolitical climate, it will become that. Now, it's not to say from our discussion based upon African country to African country trade that, you know, it is, we are now on another island of sorts. Well, it is and it's not. It is and it's not. Remember that. Because, one of the key discussion points earlier this year that I highlighted to you here on Eagle FM's Business and Economic Zone was the fascination in terms of how developing countries want to serve and want to supply to developed countries, specifically based upon the meat industry and the international beef industry. And in that same discussion, I noted to you that the unfortunate thing is that the Europeans are expanding, researching, and developing into diversifying their diets and remember this, trying to move away from animal products. Now, animal products is a wide statement. It's a wide category. Animal products, but predominantly, there's one animal that serves a lot, especially the cow, the cattle. Beef, milk products, or beef, meat, dairy products, and then also stuff like leather products, leather supply. Now, understand that. Understand that component. That one animal can supply so much products into an economic situation. Just one animal. I'm not even on a sheep yet. Neither are we on a goat as yet. Neither are we close to pork as yet. Now, from that component, oh yes, and we're not even close to fish, because fish can also provide you with a lot of products in an industrial sense and in an economic purposes. Now, the developing markets, the developed markets, although they now find themselves in a major geopolitical scenario with that Ukraine conflict, they also have been trying to move away from technically supporting our commodities. Remember, the same message cascades through every component in an industrial, in economic and an industrial sense. For example, most of the developing world has the natural gas and the oil deposits. Most of the developing world has the natural gas and the oil deposits. What is the market that aims to, you know, to absorb this is the European market in most cases, as well as also the North American market. So what are they trying to do? They're now trying to divest, to move away, to migrate away from an energy that they made us all use. They all made us used to this energy. And also that they were the client states buying these commodities. Now, that approach is not scary, but it also indicates that we as a developing country should not be as dependent upon developed markets. Remember, developed markets, the category, the characteristics about them is that they're oversaturated, meaning oversupplied. Everyone wants to sell to them, which is a very dangerous picture because that means something like fluctuating commodity price levels can become a real danger. Now, the UNCTAD conference on trade and development component, they indicate that commodity dependence increased over the last 10 years from 93 countries between 2008 and 2009 to 101 between 2018 and 2019. Now, this was based upon their own report of state of commodity dependence. Now remember, commodity is anything that one country can sell as a resource. Beef is technically a resource, although it falls under the agricultural category. But agriculture is also deemed, agriculture and fishing is technically also deemed as an extractive industry. It's almost also deemed as an extract because you can sell the raw product or you can sell the processed product, right? And plus also, agriculture is one of the oldest economic industries around the world that is still existent till this day. It has not gone anywhere. The only one that has come up to its level has been the mining process, the extractive industries, the mining process. But still, agriculture has been there as long as humankind has been there. Now, if we take a look at this perspective, the African continent itself has the potential to carry such a market and go ahead and develop its own market internally. Because understand, hidden in that message, especially in that article in Monday night's article from the Village e-paper, where my colleague, Menua Erastus, indicated that the aspect of this purchase, although it's the first one between Namibia and Ghana in terms of Namibia supplying Ghana with meat, in terms of that tonnage, that large quantity of supply, it's a path in the right direction because for so long, northern communal area producers were sitting with the biggest population of cattle, but they had no outlet. The only outlet they had was between each other, was selling between each other. Now, something more lucrative, if you have an abundance of a resource, is to try and find a market externally to offset, because in a sense, let's also understand this, guys. The agency, even though this was the Ministry of International Relations that gave this feedback through that article, the agency that was most probably responsible for that might have been Meatco, safe to say. But they will also are also taking something else into consideration to avoid a form of wastage taking place. Remember that most of the concerns has been for many of the NCA producers that, listen, we also need to make some form of money. We also need to make some form of money. Now, it's a thumbs up. It's a thumbs up. It's a good job. It's a good job done. It's well done. Well done. Because the CBT mechanism allows Ghana to receive their shipment and supply of beef. That means there is money coming into the country, spread out between the producers. The producers then have an opportunity to fortify themselves during difficult times and also to look at new ways of implementing their own animal husbandry practices, as well as also finding ways of investing into their practices, their current practices and systems, which is all a green tick in the box. A checklist saying, yes, yes, yes. Good job. Continue. Build forward. Now, this, remember, is a commodity then, because it's a country selling to another country. But, the UNCTAD indicated that the nominal value of world commodity exports had reached a level or a value of $4.38 trillion between that 2018 and 2019 period, which indicated that it was a 20% increase compared to that 2008-2009 comparison. Although it's 10 years back, 20% increase does look like a very gradual one that had to grow in that same in that part. But that's also down to a lot of factors that are not being taken into consideration here. A lot of factors. Countries that realize that they've got a potential to also compete on the global market for an extra dollar into their export earnings category. You had a lot of countries that had to come up and step up into that category. A lot of countries that realized, listen, we have the opportunity to do this and do that and do this and do that. Partner up here and partner up there. Or they just discovered, like what happened now recently, like with Uganda, who discovered one of the biggest gold deposits in their country. Guys, I looked once again at Uganda's physical size in comparison to Namibia. They're smaller than us. And it's a big deposit, that gold deposit. Just in if you're interested about that part, just have a look at Uganda gold discovery. You will see the total value. It's in the trillion US dollars, estimates, because it's a massive gold deposit. Now, that obviously does point to one or other thing, because, and forget about Uganda now, but the thing is, you now have countries that are now being considered as new trade partners. They weren't trade partners in 2008, 2009. They weren't. Like what we now see, Namibia and Ghana now establishing closer ties, especially starting with an agricultural product. Now, commodity dependence, and this is now one of the sort of like the points that the UNCTAD is indicating here in terms of that commodity dependence will become a persistent factor or persistent thing for developing countries. Well, we have to understand, guys, and this is what a lot of agencies, especially like the UNCTAD, do not say. They don't say this. They don't say that the UK was one of the largest colonial rulers across the world for a good part of almost 200 years or 100, 200, 300 years plus. There's a lot of spare change in terms of time, which indicated that they had the opportunity of concentrating all economic sort of like development in their small living space known as the UK Isle or the UK Island Cluster. The UN is not...
Titanium, the perfect fit between platinum and silver, complementing our existing benefit options. We always offer a comprehensive healthcare experience. NHP, the premier member-centric medical aid fund. Visit NHP today at nhp.com.na. NHP, we're about you.
Now, coming back from our quick break right there, and just where I ended off before the break, was that nowhere... Look, let's be clear. It is commodity dependence will exist and will continue. There won't be an end to it, because if you have the product to sell and you can extract it, then you can continue selling it, right? Right. Now, what this UNCTAD discussion point failed to indicate, and because I read it as well, is that the European continent, which is the most resource-deprived continent, natural resource-deprived. I mean, guys, if you are hearing about Spanish and Portuguese and Italian fishermen having to fish in African waters, that means that they've depleted their own natural resource. If you are hearing, for example, like countries like Germany signing green hydrogen energy projects or sustainable energy projects with African countries, especially with Namibia and other African trade partners. That means they don't have the space nor the sort of like the room to maneuver in to try and establish the same scenario there. Second one of that is also, it is another talking point in terms of, just look at what their standoff with Russia indicates. They don't have LNG. They can buy it from Norway. They are forced to buy it from Algeria. They can't buy it from Libya because they virtually, ruined Libya's potential in terms of, moving on after Gaddafi, because they caused it. The same guys that are now trying to run around and scramble about, they caused all that. And then alternatively, there was Syria right next door to them, which they also ruined. And thus, they are now finding themselves trying to sanction what they deem is the bad guy, but not the bad guy. And we are all confused sitting here because they are still using the alleged bad guy's energy, which is Russia, because they don't have natural gas. They can buy from Norway, but Norway cannot supply them as much as Russia can. Because it's not one country that Norway has to supply. Norway has to supply a cluster of countries that are five times its national population size. France is in the 50 to 70 million people. Germany is at 80 million people. The UK is at England alone is at 60 million. Scotland is at 5. Wales is like 3 million people. Ireland is at 5 million. Spain, which buys from Algeria. Spain has to buy from Algeria and also from, there's another country they also buy from that I forgot. But I think it is also Russian gas. And Spain sits with a good, I think, 50 to 55 million people. Portugal has a good 20 million people. A spare change, I'm throwing a few million here and there. Spare change there. So count all those millions that I just clustered to you that don't have their own natural gas. Count all those millions. That's a good 500 million people. Close. In between, you've got Belgium and the Netherlands there, and Denmark there, and Italy there, and Austria, and Poland somewhere, and Switzerland somewhere. The extra spare changes that you can add in to the equation. It's a good 500, close to a billion people. Almost a billion people. But they don't have LNG. They have exhausted their natural fish stocks. Do you guys see what I'm indicating? Thus, that's now these developed markets, like the European zone, are continuously finding their own sustainable ways of looking after their consumer markets. Because we as Namibia won't be able to supply them forever with beef. There will come a time where they will say no. They will say no. We will either take less or we will phase out the use of it. Now, it's key to indicate that because that whole European zone had a good 100-year head start over a continent like Africa in terms of industrial development. A whole 100-year start. Hence why the UNCTAD is indicating in reports like this that I've got open in front of me that the dependence will still be there. For sure. If you have to count the oldest African country that has its oldest independence, they're not even at a hundred year anniversary point yet. They're not even there yet. They're not even there yet. So, measuring apple against apple, one apple is 100 years behind in terms of maturity, sweetening up and ripening to be ready for consumption. as opposed to the one apple that's in persistent ripeness. Persistent in a persistent and consistent state of being ripe for consumption. Now, this commodity-based discussion, guys, also, let's understand this, because the dependence aspect is considerably high, especially in Middle Africa and Western Africa. Well, we also have to look at Southern Africa's, you know, what we contribute to the global stage, because we provide, if you just have to look at the portfolio of each SADC member country. And pull a line from DRC down. Minus, I don't know what Tanzania has. Minus Tanzania. But DRC down. DRC is probably the one most well endowed with natural resources. DRC. It's also the biggest one in surface area of all the SADC countries. Then you've got Mozambique. Mozambique has, I think they do have diamonds, but they have oil and they have gas. Good. A good portfolio. A strong portfolio. The question is only the portfolio is put under threat because of consumer countries that are aiming to change their energy consumption ways. Angola, diamonds, oil. I don't know if they have anything else, but diamonds, oil. One downside was with what we now, all of us recently found out with the vice president of Angola's visit to Namibia, where he indicated that unfortunately the refining of Angolan oil doesn't take place in his country. It doesn't take place in his country. It doesn't. Now factor in transport costs there. From that perspective, you take a look at Namibia, we are very well endowed from fishing to meat, to diamonds, to gold, to uranium, to... what else is there? Yeah. And those first five guys are the strong contributions that we can give on a global... because I can't mention the green hydrogen. It's not there yet. It's not operating yet. I can't mention it. Botswana, strong in diamonds, but also strong in its savings capacity. Because the Pula is strong, where it finds itself in this dominant position, this very strong position that it currently enjoys, because they had like a very protracted or a very long period of where the country was saving. The country was literally just saving its money. It was saving so much money. It was saving so much money. Now, economists would tell you, yeah, spend as much money in infrastructure development. And so, you know, spend your money and then you make loans in order to finance projects and stuff like that. But Botswana has shown you there's a different way of doing something. If you want a potentially strong independent currency, step a little bit back. Step a little bit back. Save your money. Oh, now, remember, that was happening before Ian Khama, the guy before this current president of Botswana. It was the president before him. And from that perspective, you then get to the big daddy of the SADC. Oh, yes, there's still Zambia and Zimbabwe. Both also very strong in their own resource categories in terms of their portfolios. The only downside is that Zimbabwe is still suffering 20 years back or 20 years on in terms of, I can't say if it's anything to do with either the administration, meaning which if president is currently in power, whether it was under Mugabe or Mnangagwa. It doesn't matter because there are external factors hemorrhaging on the Zimbabwean economy. There are external factors. I mean, one key one was the owed money from British American Tobacco because Zimbabwe was one of the largest tobacco exporters. I think they technically still are. I think they still are one of the largest tobacco exporters. Them in Tanzania. Oh, yes, that's one of Tanzania's other components. They've got a very strong presence in the tobacco industry. If you don't know, there's a cigarette brand that the Tanzania only produces for Namibia. I won't mention the name because technically it would be like giving extra exposure to this name, to this brand name. But they only manufacture that cigarette brand for Namibia. South Africans come to Namibia and they buy that brand here. But it's made only for Namibia. It's priced well below what the British and American tobacco brands sold in Namibia are priced. Those brands easily now stand at $50 to $60 a packet for 20 cigarettes. That specific brand from Tanzania, grown and packaged for Namibia, it's only now close in certain shops. It's now close to the, guys, I don't smoke. Just a disclaimer, I don't smoke. I'm not a smoker, but I am aware of these prices because I have worked in a bottle store before. That specific brand stands at 35, 36, 37 in certain outlets. 35, 36, 37. The British and American tobacco brands stand between $50 to $70, depending on which brand, because they've got a wide portfolio of brands. Right there. Now, do you see the value? Because that's between Tanzania and Namibia. That's an Africa country to Africa country trade scenario. A benefit for a consumer, for the Namibian consumer. A benefit for the Tanzanian producer. The same with Namibian beef going to Ghana. A benefit for the Ghanaian consumer. A benefit for the Namibian producer. A plus and a plus. Look, guys, you don't have to worry in terms of what money or what value denomination Ghana will be paying us. It can probably be US dollars. It can probably be euro. It can probably be something else. But the specifics of that have already been ironed out and already indicates to that their revenue is being created. Because we can only strengthen another African country's position in terms of selling to them, and they can also just reciprocate the same notion by buying from us. By buying from us. Now, it's good to say also that this is how it's supposed to be. It's supposed to be. I mean, if you just want to see the nightmarish situation of not dealing with countries on your continent, on your home continent, go look at what is happening to the UK economy. It's known as Brexit. They inflicted it on themselves. You don't have to include an immigration thing, but their politicians used an immigration component, a very, very, very negligible component, to sever.
Paratus Mobile LTE. Everything you want, whenever you want it. Start uploading, downloading, liking, and sharing all your experiences with the world. Starting from 100 Namibian dollars per month, including VAT for prepaid, or 345 Namibian dollars per month, excluding VAT for postpaid. Get online with high-speed internet the way you want it. Visit na.paratus.africa for more information. Always
now, just where I left off before that break was, if you had to look at how you really want to shoot yourself through the foot and sabotage your own economic prospects, meaning your own country's well-being economically, go look at what the UK did to themselves. By not trading or not being able to trade fluidly, and I say fluidly, meaning without any major stoppages or hindrances to economic activity, meaning goods and services and skills moving across borders. They used a very negligible discussion point to self-sabotage, to cause self-harm and to inflict self-sabotage on their own economy. Now, it's safe to say in Namibia, that's not our aim. We don't want to do that. I mean, the only thing that we always aim to strive for, and that has been since and also 2020's, I'm now factoring in the two instances where the NCA areas, especially the NCA meat producers, were inflicted with two, before, if there was anyone now, recently coming about, but they had in that same period of between 2021 and mid-2020, two outbreaks of FMD. And I'm also ignoring the red locust infestations that have also taken place in the same period. I'm just saying on the meat. Those two outbreaks were met with the seriousness that they presented. Because in that whole discussion point, and I'm also just revitalizing and resuscitating your memory banks, in that whole period also, Meatco was also looking at a way of tapping or generating a market for those producers. They were looking at accessing or developing a market for producers, especially for those NCA producers. Now, understand also, guys, that means we've actively got entities, agents of prosperity in our country, aiming to get our products out there, aiming at generating revenue for the country. We don't have to be worried about where the money goes where. The producer will be happy because the producer will be able to produce and sell and supply, and they'll be able to achieve an earnings, an income, a revenue, because at least they would know there can be one or other business mechanism that can help maintain, sustain, or further develop their farming practice, their production practice, their agricultural practice, or even if they wish to divest further or expand and, or reinforce themselves, they can do that with the earnings that they can that they are potentially earning and achieving and receiving. So the notion that something like the UNCTAD indicating that the dependence on a commodity would still be a lasting legacy, yes for sure it will still be there. There's no way that we will be able to ignore agricultural processes besides the obvious cultural the cultural wealth that agriculture still plays in every African country on this continent, because agriculture forms part and parcel of most African cultures. Go look it up. You'll see it. You'll see they were either herders or cattle herders or cattle or livestock or animal husbandry induced cultures, or they were crop producing cultures. You only had two of them. And in between you had the hunter-gatherer cultures also. Hunter-gatherer guys were nomadic as well, but so were the livestock guys. They were also nomadic. They had to move from pasture grazeland to pasture grazeland. Meaning they would not put much stress on one piece of land. They were allowed to move like a migration pattern, like what birds do when it hits summer. They come fly to come nest and produce offspring. And when it becomes too cold and it's indicating that it's going to become winter, then they fly to another hotspot somewhere else in the world. You found that on this continent. But we're not going to throw in the negative impact in terms of drawing physical borders, because we find ourselves here, as we are now, 51 countries, 52, or is it 54? 54 countries. on this continent. We find ourselves here now, currently. So it's critical to then look at the way ahead. And, guys, commodity dependence will still be there. It will still be there. Now, we've got to know, guys, that we've got a note. Let's take note of this component. But this discussion, this specific component of tonight's discussion will still overflow into tomorrow's discussion because it's critical to understand who sets the price of commodities, because this is also what I want to share with you. Now, if you've ever thought about the inputs that goes into something like a cup of coffee that you probably enjoy every morning, or you know, that liter of milk that you buy for your home, or if you look at the petrol that you put into your car every week or every day or every second day, well, currently it might have to be every day, but in some parts we don't always factor in or think or expand our thinking in terms of understanding that all that most of these products started from its raw part or from a commodity, or it started off as a commodity. Now, commodities, guys, in the financial market are essential. Commodities on a financial market platform makes the money flow. That's, I can only put it in that basic terminology for all of us. It is what makes the money flow. There are people that would buy, that want to buy shipments of coal. There are people that want to buy shipments of copper. There are countries that sell shipments of gold. There are companies, no, not companies, although the companies are involved in some way in the facilitation and supply process. There are countries that supply beef. There are countries that supply the fish. There are countries that supply cotton. There are countries that supply, what's that thing that India exports? It's similar to cotton. Linen. Oh yes, guys. I did not know that this one thing is so valuable. It is almost an alternative of cotton, because you get a cotton plant or cotton, you know, process. But linen has the potential to also strengthen a textile industry in your country or in your economy. It's just that linen is a very it's a very expensive commodity. I have not researched that aspect of the fashion industry or the textile industry or the textile economic factor, but a facet. But linen is something that is a natural fiber found out in the natural environment. Now, commodities, as mentioned, are extremely important to a financial market. And that's because they are also essential for producers and manufacturers, because producers are the guys that supply. The manufacturers buy to make something else. The commodity is essentially a basic product or the raw material used to make all other goods that you find or that you consume, which also factors into our everyday lives. Now, this is also to bring you that big picture. And there's a reason why I am introducing this discussion point as well. Because we've got to understand. We need to see the big picture as well. We need to maintain the big picture in our psyche, in our mental thinking processes. Well, no, can't use those two words together, but in our mental processes. We need to maintain that. Now, if you guys ever thought something like beef is a commodity, so technically Namibia, or if you find yourself as an NCA producer or beef producer or meat producer, you're technically factoring into the commodity bracket, because beef is a commodity. There's only three countries, guys, that can beat us in terms of supplying quantity, and that's the US, Brazil, Argentina, well, technically four, if you include Australia and Australia. It's technically only three, four other countries. I haven't even mentioned, who else is there? There's one other country, I think, from... Well, it's also based upon in terms of the agricultural legacies that you find in your country. Because if you have to think on the African continent, the only other person that can compete with us is technically either the king of... I almost said Eswatini. But the king of Lesotho and the South African producers. Oh, and the Zulu king from KZN. If you look at South Africa, including Lesotho, they're probably the only guys that can beat us in terms of the quantity of beef products that they can supply internationally or beef supply. So, Namibia finds itself in a very, very critical, not critical in terms of negative critical, but critical in terms of this is a trade, this is a specific commodity that we can actually, we can turn it into a gold item if we play it right for the rest of the continent even. We can, if we play it right, it can factor into a gold item in our export bracket or in our revenue bracket. It can be a gold item. That would mean the potential is there that we don't have to be dependent upon something like the extractive industry. The gold, the diamonds, the uranium. We can actually diversify. We can expand a specific bracket in terms of what we offer. Now, I know, guys, I've once again mistreated you for tonight in terms of not allowing any of your contributions to come through. The promise is still there. We have to get the discussion points also in there to give you, present to you the holistic picture out there. Because we have to know what is the deal, what are the... all the impacting and influencing components on the discussion. What are the various entry points you can come in with? What are the various components to keep mind of or to be aware of? What are the various components and parts also to signal and to that is now the trending discussion? Because right now the trending discussion is saying Namibia is selling beef now to Ghana. That's a trending discussion. What is not highlighted is that this needs to happen more often. Namibia needs to sell to more African countries. Guys, trade 101 between one country and another country is that you sell to your closest neighbors or in your close proximity. If your beef has to travel from here to Norway, the price would be too much for Norway's consumers. Norway's consumers will never buy the beef. But if you sell because of transport, obviously, transport standards that have to be, you know, have to also be abided by, and then also any other sort of like standards in terms of market standards. But if you sell close proximity, not waiving or, you know, not ignoring this by not also, you know, but still keeping or maintaining some standards, then why not?
So, jy het dit gedoen. Jy het jou laat besny.
Jep,
dit was baie dapper. Was dit nie vrek seer nie?
Dit was net so effens seer, maar dit is die moeite werd om myself teen seksueel oordraagbare infeksies te beskerm. En dit is soveel makliker om skoon te hou.
Wel, as jy dit so stel, dan moet ek dit dalk ook laat doen.
Bra, dit is die regte ding om te doen. Man up, kry 'n besnyding. Om 'n gratis besnyding te bespreek of om meer uit te vind, stuur 'n WhatsApp boodskap na 081-309-2729 of besoek ons Facebookblad by VMMC Namibia.
Now, as we end off just after that discussion point, guys, my promise is still out there to you, the callers. Once again, the opportunity is there in tomorrow night's discussion and tomorrow night's discussion because... the matriarch is about to make an entrance. However, keep your notes. Keep them because I will be signaling to you for tomorrow night's discussion that bring it in. Let's have it. Let's hear what you have to add. Let's hear what you have to say. But alternatively on that note, Let's see each other again. Same time, same place. Enjoy the rest of your evening and stay tuned here on your number one talk radio station of Eagle FM as the matriarch is about to make an entrance. Stay tuned.
Hello, Namibia. Indirapa manate muyuni walela pe. Lela pe onkaro ompu woma futiro no kwesisa ngoka haguningwa pamkaro gongodi hokatovuru okutuminako omatumaraka goe agehe na ngoka gopaipindi notaga dhanwa nokutuwa mombepo esimbo ojo tuunjoka. Otovuru okuningashike ko lela pe. Otovuru okutura omatumaraka goe mombepo tarongisa oka epa ko Eagle FM nenge ka imba nenge hoka ka lela pe. Nenge utre moshifo sho The Villager ni kwao ya wedhapo. Otovuru okuninga omafutiro goe. Otovuru ishe okuturako omatumaraka goe ginima ya yoroka. Ngashi, omatumaraka gorukozi, omatumaraka gomahio, omatumaraka gomaharero ya mbeko gomavaro, nomatumaraka gokwarukehe ngoka wahara utseifere oshiwana ashikesho mo Namibia, okuza owarapo doranda tu ni thiringa itano metumaraka kehe. Lela pei, oharongo ngini. Konga oka epa ko lela pei ko Play Store, nenge ko App Store, eto katura kakarekeri mongo dioe. Paturura o akauntae oshari, eto turamo omaothemba goe. Inda kokanja toko eki mariwa, eto turako oshimariwa, to udhitha shoka topurwa uudhithe. Shampa wa mana okuturamo omaothemba goe, hogora kucha wahara okurungitha ehangano, nenge ovendaini, o Eagle FM, nenge o The Villager. Ronge kitha etumaraka joe, eto sindimpoka pashangwa send, utume. Shamba watumu etumaraka joe, otarituruwa ko Eagle FM, imba, lela pei, nenge ko The Villager. Ouna ishwe ompito, yokutura ko irongwa moyoe yokomake. Tumina inimawe ko digital etomalaiti.com, notai urikwa menderero. Opo ukare waguza kukara ndithi, tudengera nena kono rahe tatu imwe, mbari nora, ndatu ngoi, hamano, ndatu ndatu, nenge kono rahe tatu imwe, ndatu mbari, hetatu, 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 ne, no nora yeriari. Lela pei, imo nena, nena, tai adhika ko App Store, noko Google Play Store.